The most profound spiritual teachers of all time say the same thing in different ways. Quiet the mind and listen within. Over the last 10 years of my life, I've been asking the same question. Can it really be that simple? This blogcast is about my journey to the answer. I am Kayla Corsiglia, and you are listening to Intuition Academy. Hello, my beautiful friends, and welcome back to part 3 of The Power of Desire, the 8-part series. If you have not listened to part 1 and 2, I would highly suggest going back and listening to those episodes now before moving on to this one. Last week, we talked about 1, clarifying your desire, and 2, we looked at that desire and let ourselves get triggered, specifically by a single story which tells us why we can't have the thing that we want. If you have successfully accomplished that step, you will be able to look at that same thought now and feel very little resistance or no resistance at all, meaning you won't be triggered negatively into like a negative stream of thought on that topic. The thought will just be a thought with no emotional response. Remember to keep track of the work that you are accomplishing in each of these steps, as they will always come in handy during the following episodes. And this is a process you can walk yourself through again and again on different thoughts and beliefs surrounding the desires that feel unattainable to you. So as you complete all 4 of these steps, you can then go right back to step 1 again and start over with a new thought that you believe is holding you back from what you want. If you are really enjoying the podcast and are interested in diving deeper with me as your mentor, you can follow the Work With Me link in the show notes of the episode. You will also find my Instagram in the show notes, where you can see what I'm up to and where I am in the world. Don't forget to follow me or leave good reviews on your favorite podcasting platforms. It makes all the difference in the world. And remember, the first 4 parts of this series will always be available on the podcast, but parts 5 through 8 will only be available until the beginning of November 2023. If you are listening to this episode after that date, then you can find the link to purchase the additional, more in-depth 4-part Power of Desire audio course in the show notes. Without further ado, let's go to part 3 of this 8-part Power of Desire series. Hello, friends. Quick note before we start. I actually decided to re-record this episode in current time after listening back to the original recording, because frankly, I felt like I could do a little bit better explaining this part of the equation. So, I am recording this in late August 2023 while still in Ubud. If you had listened to part 3 when I released it before, I would suggest listening again, as I will be adding more to it this time around. So, let's get into it. Okay, so by now, you should be feeling clear on your desire and also feel like there is little to no resistance when thinking about that desire, which leads us to the 3rd step in the process, which is holding desire in the body and as a physical sensation. This is an aspect of the work that gets overlooked frequently, in my opinion, because it feels unnecessary to so many. Most people in the manifestation community talk a lot about holding the feeling of what it will feel like when you get what you want. This is also a topic that I love talking about as well, because it's really powerful. Like, how is it going to feel when you receive what you desire, and can you embody that? I'm fairly certain that I have previous podcast episodes on that as well. So this is how a lot of us are taught to quantum leap, embodying that version of ourselves now. But what I've found when people focus solely on the quantum leap, focus solely on embodying the version of themselves that has the thing, they are leaving a lot of energy left unchecked in the meantime, a lot of resistance left uncleared. And even if people are able to accomplish the quantum leap through intense focus, they aren't able to maintain the energy of that quantum leap, so they end up crashing and burning. This has not only just happened to me multiple times while practicing that technique, but it's also happened to a great deal of my clients and my friends as well. So think of it like you are learning to fly. You have wings in this scenario. The quantum leap is asking someone to fly you up in an airplane to a very large height, and you jump out of the plane hoping you can figure out how your muscles, the muscles of the wings, work as you fall. And maybe you are able to glide for a time, but if a gust of wind comes along, another bird, a plane, a storm rolls through, anything that knocks you out of that glide sends you tumbling very quickly back down to the ground again, and you are left beaten and bruised. And a lot of us, when we experience this, like the fall after the quantum leap, there's a lot of depression because we just had the thing that we wanted and it slipped through our fingers. And there's generally no, we don't see a way to get back up to that same height that we originally had found ourselves at. You haven't practiced, there is no muscle mass that's been established in your wings, in your back, and you don't even know how to get off the ground because you literally started in the air to begin with. So taking off feels like this really, really difficult thing to accomplish after you've fallen from that quantum leap. My business partner and one of my best friends, Meg, she holds inner voice sessions for my clients in my one-on-one container. And she recently, while we were talking about this, she related this to playing Mario, if you're familiar, with the 90s game, way back in the day. And remember when you would eat like a magic mushroom or something in Mario while on like one of the initial levels, right? Like you only just started. And you would somehow end up, after eating this magic whatever, moving all the way to the final boss, to Bowser. And you'd be battling him, but before you had accomplished all the other levels, like the opportunity to beat the boss before the game has even started. So maybe you could hold your ground for like a couple minutes, but almost inevitably you would die and end up back at level one again, because there are skills that you have to learn along the way so you can better handle the boss once you get there. So holding desire to start rather than moving directly toward holding the feeling of what it'll be like when you get what you desire in the flying scenario is like learning how to take off from the ground, not taking the plane and hoping to figure it out while in danger of plummeting back down to the ground. There is just too much that could knock you out of that glide. And before I go any further, I just want to say that holding a desire is not the same as wanting something. Just keep listening, because it is different than just wanting something. This is a scenario where you're looking at something that you feel like you can't have and wanting it anyway. So basically, the same is true if we haven't worked through these resistances and allowed ourselves to get really honest with what it is that we want and what is in our way. What is in our way is the most powerful thing for us to look at, because if we are ignoring the things that are holding us back and hope that we can somehow bypass them through like positive thinking, we will be gliding along one day and that thing, that resistance that we did not work through, is going to knock us out of alignment and back to where we started again. Like two steps forward, one step back. So let's conceptualize this a little bit. What I want you to do is think of something that is really, really easy to desire. I always do this with a cup of coffee because I always wake up with wanting a cup of coffee. I want a cup of coffee in like the middle of the day. So like a cup of coffee, even on a day when you forget to pick up more coffee grounds from the store, that usually does not deter us from believing that we can have a cup of coffee, right? So even if there's no coffee in the house, Starbucks is closed down for construction, and the convenience store doesn't open until 8 a.m. and it's 7, you are still not deterred from wanting coffee. And there are still 100 different ways you can get that cup of coffee, generally speaking. You don't just give up like we do on these other desires without even trying a single time. Even here, where I am in Bali, in a second world country, I have never been deterred from having a cup of coffee. Even deep in the jungle with no cafes around me, I still believed I could have coffee and then somehow figured it out. So feel how easy that is to believe. And feel that in your body. Don't just think to yourself like, yeah, that's true. Like, feel into your body, like when you're meditating, sink down and feel what something that feels true to you feels like. Like, I want a cup of coffee and I really know that I can have it. That's easy, right? How does that feel in your body? And now, think of something that you really desire but you feel you cannot have. and just sink into your body again and feel the way your whole body feels in comparison. It's most likely clenching up in response to that thought, or maybe there's like a tightness or an anger that comes up or anxiety or whatever. I want it, but I can't. I want it, but I can't. I want it, but I can't. And maybe the mind goes off on a tangent about why that's true, why you can't have it. But just for now, notice how it feels in the body more than anything. That's the most important point I'm trying to make here. And maybe go back and forth between the two. Like go back to thinking about wanting a cup of coffee when the coffee cravings really kick in, and notice how different that feels in the body. And then maybe shift back again to the thing that you really want but you feel like you can't have. And just feel the difference. How easy is it? What is the feeling in your body when you're thinking about the cup of coffee? And versus how difficult it is to think about the thing that you cannot have, that you believe you cannot have. Now, what if I told you the only difference in these two vibrations is that one vibration is a vibration of belief, of desire, that you can have it, and the other is not. The only difference between the two of them is that the one that feels good, that feels easy, the coffee, is because there's a vibration of desire, a vibration of belief. And with the thing that you really want but feel like you can't have, desire is where the lifeline gets cut off, where the energy gets cut off. Every single time the desire is presented, you bump up against a wall. And so maybe you can feel or think about the desire for a moment, but then you get automatically triggered into a line of belief all about why you can't have it. And sometimes this is, like I've said in a previous episode, this happens so intensely that it makes you just like throw the belief, like throw the desire away altogether. So you don't even start desiring. But if you're more of a clenchy desire, it's like the desire is there and maybe you're experiencing it, but it's immediately shut down by the following thoughts. And so the only reason it's so easy for you to consistently find another solution and another solution and another solution each time something weird comes up with that cup of coffee and you suddenly can't get it in the typical way, let's say, it's because the mind holds the desire. It holds the desire. It continues wanting it even when there is an obstacle that presents itself to you. And in the alternate situation, when we're thinking about something we feel like we can't have, we don't even put ourselves in a position to seek solution because we do not believe that there is one. The mind is focusing on all the reasons why we won't be able to see a solution. But really, when it comes down to something that's easy to desire that we believe we can have, it just stays in the feeling of desire, and then we open up to possibility. The belief is so strong in our bodies, in our mind, that we are in constant openness to another solution. So getting clear on what we desire and then clearing the resistance is like clearing the path, clearing the pathway to what we want steadily. And as we clear that path and we can just want from that state of lesser to no resistance, that is like having a very clear pathway. Whereas when the resistance arises, it's like having these huge obstacles in our path that make it seem impossible for us to get around. Now, this doesn't mean that in that initial scenario with the coffee or with whatever it's easy to desire, that holding desire means that we are going to be presented with solutions immediately that give us what we want. We'll get more into that in the final step. What matters the most here is that we are just allowing ourselves to desire this thing, regardless of the stories that our mind is making up about why we can't have it. We are not allowing physical circumstances to deter us from wanting it. We are not letting our family and their belief systems deter us, or our community, whoever, our friends, our husbands, our wives, our partners, our children. Source themselves could come down from the heavens and say to me, Kayla Crisiglia, you will never have a cute little cottage in the PNW rainforest. Just give it up and settle. Just settle. You'll never be able to do it. It's just impossible. Source themselves could say that to me, could come down from the ethers and say that to my face. And I would say, I'm going to keep wanting it anyway, though. Just so you know. I will desire that thing no matter what. Whatever it is, not just the cute little cottage, any of the things that I desire. I will not be deterred. Unless the desire itself alters in some way when I come into some new information. I would suggest for you to not be deterred from the thing that you want unless the desire itself alters in some way when you have life experience. But if it's truly what you are really wanting, if it's truly what we want, nothing should be able to deter us. Want it anyway. If I could have a slogan for my brand, The Power of Desire, it would be like, want it anyway. Want it anyway. Oh, your mother-in-law is in town and you don't think you're allowed to want alone time while she's there? Want it anyway. Oh, your husband is staying late at work and you wanted to take a bubble bath and were hoping he'd put the kids to bed so you'd have time? Want it anyway, baby. Oh, your job won't allow you to travel full-time, and especially not outside of the United States or wherever your country of origin is. Is that what you want? It is? Okay, then want it anyway. Want it anyway. The craziest shit starts to happen when you just let yourself want it anyway, never being deterred from a single thing that your heart asks for. I heard someone say the other day, do I even really know who I am until I believe I have access to all that I desire? And I genuinely believe that the answer is no, because how will we ever know what our favorite hobby is if we don't even believe that we can take that pottery class, or we don't believe that we can travel the world? How will we ever know if we like the expensive linen or if we like cotton better? How will we know what items are the pieces of clothing that we actually desire in our wardrobe? If you could just remove all of the things from the path that make you feel like you can't just want something. And here's the other thing is like, so imagine this. You're walking through the forest and you're walking on a trail and suddenly a really large tree trunk, or if it's a really, really heavy, like big desire, like big resistance, sometimes I imagine it as a boulder. But you really, really want to go on this hike. You know that something behind that boulder is going to change everything. It's not just like a lollipop, you know, it's not a simple thing. It's like millions of dollars. It's like your dream relationship. It's like that vacation you've been wanting to go on for your entire life. It's like the most amazing education for your children, but there's this boulder in the way. So this massive thing is behind that boulder. Are you just going to let that boulder prevent you from getting there, from having the thing that you want? Or do you stand there and say there has to be a way around or through this fucking thing? Because for me, I'm going to be standing there with a chisel and a hammer hacking away at it until it's all gone. And a lot of times, that's what heavy resistance feels like to me. It's just like chiseling away at it, little bit by little bit by little bit. I've said this in a previous episode before, but it is worth saying again. Desiring is not the same thing as having. I am not saying go to the store and buy the expensive linen bed sheets. I'm not saying figure it out right now how you're going to get there, especially if you cannot afford, let's say, the reality that you really want. What I'm saying is just want it, even if the money's not there, even if the partner's not there, even if your job hasn't morphed into something that feels fulfilling to you, even if God himself came down and told you that you're screwed. Like, just want it. Just want it. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Just like let yourself sit and contemplate gently to yourself that desire and just let yourself want it. And maybe not even trying to convince yourself that you can have it, but sit down to be like, oh, wouldn't it be really nice to have those linen bed sheets handmade in Lithuania? I have a pair of these bed sheets, by the way, and they're amazing, and they were expensive, but I wanted them anyway, and I figured out how to buy them. And I want to sleep on them immediately when I get back to America. But just want them. Want them without knowing how you're going to get it. Like, want it. And want it in a way that feels loose. That feels loose. That doesn't feel like clenching, digging your nails into your leg, like, I need to figure this out. Because that's sending a very clear message to the universe that you have not figured it out. And so you're not open to solution then either. But if you're just loosely desiring something, like, oh, wouldn't it just be really wonderful to live for an entire year in Bali? Oh, that would be really nice. And then you just like walk away and move on with your life. That's the energy that we want. Just want them. You don't need to do some fancy ritual to call them in. Just want them. Whatever it is that you're desiring. Instead of doing that thing that we all do, like, ugh, well, that thing's like actually really expensive, or, you know, men suck, and so I probably will just be alone forever. And like, I'm okay with that, actually. It's not a big deal. It's fine. It's totally fine. Like, eh. It's just not meant to be. It's just not meant to be. It's fine. I'll never have the expensive linen sheets. It's totally fine. No! Just want them. Just want them. Even though these bed sheets are super expensive, I still want them. When you shut down even just wanting something, you are shutting all the doors to any possible solution that could present itself to you. Even a solution, especially a solution that you're not even aware exists, like where you, let's say you happen to receive whatever this desire is as a gift. Or maybe you find a company that sells those linen sheets for less expensive. Or you catch a flash sale on Black Friday for plane tickets or something. Or God forbid, you start making more money and you can actually afford these things. I was actually laughing as I was listening back to the original recording of this episode. I was in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia at the time for a few days getting a new visa for Indonesia. And I was talking about a desire I was having, a hard time holding, because I felt like it was going to cost a lot of money for this visa. That was the story in my mind. So every single time I tried to let myself want it, it was just like, that's too expensive. I don't want it. And it was like, yes, I do. If money wasn't an object, would I want it? Yes. If it was so this was like a very specific visa that I wanted that was not even that much more expensive than my original visa, but it was way more convenient. And during that recording, as I was recording it, I was like, ugh, I can't hold the desire without getting knocked out. It felt too hard at the time. But because this is the thing, this is the type of thing that I'm practicing all the time on all the things that I want, I kept working on the resistances attached to wanting the new visa. And I allowed myself to keep wanting it even when the resistances were there. I wasn't deterred by my bank account, by my circumstances. And I did end up getting that visa a few months later. And that's the visa that I am leaving this country with now. I've had it for almost 6 months, I believe. Okay, so again, just a quick recap. One, clarify what you want. Just get really clear. And number two, let yourself get honest about what is standing in your way. What are the stories, whether they're stories in your mind, or there are things that feel like a very physical deterrence in your personal life that makes it seem inaccessible. Clarify what all of those things are. Get honest. Write them all out. And then clear out any of the energy. Clear out the physical sensation that's attached to those beliefs, to those fears. And then move into this final step, this third step, before we get to step four, which is want it anyway. Want it. Even if the circumstances are all focused against you, even if there is still resistance, or you see no possible way, just want it anyway. Just want it anyway, my friends. And for today, that is all. But I will be back in just a couple of days to share the final step of the equation before we dive even more deeply into these same steps, but going even more deep into them. Like, Listen to me. It actually does get better than this. I was already listening to this and I was like, this already feels like a really incredible training in and of itself. And then I went back and I listened to the audio course after having not listened to it for like 6 months. And I was like, I like blew my own mind. I was like, I don't even remember saying half of this. But anyway, I'm having so much fun releasing this series again. And if anyone has any questions or wants to share their insights that they've been experiencing while listening to the series, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram or send me an email, whatever. And until then, I will be continuing to pack my bags. I am 4 hours right now as I record this, 4 hours away from my taxi arriving to my villa, or at least to the entrance to the village that I live in. And I will be throwing all of my belongings into this taxi and heading to the airport in Denpasar, and I will be on my way back to America. What a flippin' trip. Oh, and also, I fixed my camera lens finally on my phone. It is fixed. I fixed it the day before I left Bali. And so if you want to see what I'm up to, I am finally back to posting to my stories and just in general posting to my wall. And you can find me at Kayla Corsiglia on Instagram or follow the link in the show notes. Okay, my beautiful friends, I will see you in part 4. And until next time, quiet the mind, listen within, and always follow the joy.